in the hobby, it's not easy being a fan of ripping packs or repacks. We hype ourselves up thinking that we could pull, I don't know, Hall of Famer. But with zero transparency on available cards and hit rates, it's all just a shot in the dark. Until now, introducing Slab Packs from ArenaClub.com. The only repack that provides real value, a complete view of all possible cards, and clear hit rates for each one. Now when I buy Slab Packs on Arena Club, it finally feels like I know what I'm getting. There is nothing more fun than opening an Arena Club Slab Pack. I mean, it is so much better than any mystery pack that I've ever purchased because there is a focus on transparency. There is a display of available cards. There are hit rates you can get. When you're graded, you're given a rationale. It is the marketplace for card collecting, buying, trading, selling, and displaying. Arena Club Slab Packs are revolutionizing the repack game with transparency. After your pulls are revealed, they'll immediately be placed in your vault for safekeeping or trading and selling. You can have them officially graded by Arena Club. The Arena Club grading process is accurate, fast, and transparent, with a full grade rationale provided and explanation of how your card was scored. Whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform you have to check out. Right now, you can get 10% off your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/badmoney. Wow, that's a crazy offer. 10% off a $400 slab pack, that's $40 right there. Anyways, that's arenaclub.com/badmoney for 10% off your first purchase.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Supposed to earn it, or what to do with it, or how to keep it. You're a freak with a dark, shameful secret. But you're not the only one. Get your hidden financial fears with a blast of sun. Now your healing has begun. It's Bad with Money with
Gabe S.
Dunn.
Hello, and welcome to Bad with Money Mailbag episode. It's me, your host, Gabe S. Dunn. Welcome to another episode where we listen to your voice memos, read your emails, answer some questions, talk about the news, all of that. For those of you on the Patreon, you can see that I am wearing merch for Just Between Us. Very exciting. Just Between Us is my other show, for those of you that don't know. We have had some incredible guests on Bad With Money lately. I was very excited with Dr. Stephanie Zepeda talking about couples therapy, especially couples financial therapy. And also, I felt like I really got to say a lot about my own internal world and how I've been feeling about relationships and money recently, and how I've been feeling about wanting to be in a relationship recently. Yeah, it was a really good episode. I think we've been getting pretty therapized here on Bad With Money lately, gotta say. So if you email gabeisbadwithmoney@gmail.com, I will read your email and respond to your email here on the show. So let's get into our first one. This is anonymous. They, them. Hi, Gabe. I have written before, but I would like to remain anonymous, they, them, because I am dealing with the aftermath of a car wreck and an ongoing legal case. I am writing because I have been in two different car wrecks in 6 months, and I have realized that one, Nobody teaches us anything about what car insurance to buy, how much coverage to get, or what the hell the difference between comprehensive and collision coverage is. And two, car insurance companies prey on individuals after a wreck to get them the smallest payout possible. After my first wreck, where I was rear-ended by an uninsured motorist who was an undocumented immigrant, I didn't take any photographs nor file a police report, nor did I get a lawyer. I didn't want to report the driver to the police, and there was no damage to my car. I had no immediate pain and didn't think there would be an issue. I ended up taking the measly $1,000 payout for my insurance and went about my life. Only later did pain set in that worsened over weeks, costing me my job. I had so much guilt over not taking steps to get a higher payout and protecting myself. Well, Anonymous, I want to say that that was a really sticky situation that I don't know that there's any good answer to, but I would not let that permeate in my mind. I mean, I'm not you, but I'm just saying, I really think that that's sort of the biggest catch 22 that I could think of in terms of morals and also physical pain. Less than 6 months later, I was in a second wreck where someone took an illegal left-hand turn from the right lane in front of me. I called the police, got insurance information from the other driver and a picture of his driver's license. I wanted to not make the same mistakes I did before. As a result of the second wreck, I have had a concussion, which makes me unable to work and more vulnerable to people taking advantage of me, because I feel very confused and have poor reasoning skills sometimes. But this time, when the insurance offered me $1,000, I said no and I talked to a lawyer. The lawyer offered a free consultation and payment on a contingency basis, which will be a fixed percentage of my settlement. And if I don't get a settlement, I don't pay. The lawyer also said that they will make a demand of the insurance company for the full amount of the uninsured motorist coverage, which is far more than $1,000. If I'm going to get into multiple car wrecks in 1 year, I want to get better at getting into car wrecks. And I want other people to learn how to take care of themselves before, during, and after a car wreck. My biggest takeaways from my experience are, one, have car insurance and get more than the state minimum requirements. A $25,000 policy means no matter how much damage is caused, you can only get a maximum settlement of $25,000, which won't help you if you're out of work for a year or if your medical expenses exceed that amount. Think about all your life expenses and consider getting the 50 or 100K limit to protect yourself. Two, after a wreck, take photos of everything, both cars and the other driver's insurance and license, the license ID card of everyone in the other car, and get the names and numbers of witnesses. Three, don't talk to your car insurance company or other driver's company until you talk to a lawyer. Think of it like talking to the cops. Don't answer their calls. Don't tell them anything. Don't let them pressure you into saying anything. Don't sign anything. Report the wreck and then hire a lawyer. Part of me wanted to wait to write this until after my case was settled, but I don't want to wait. Maybe that is the traumatic brain injury talking. I want to help other people take care of themselves and make good choices before, during, and after a car wreck. The system works by drivers remaining ignorant, and I want more drivers to be knowledgeable when it comes to car insurance, car wrecks, and their rights after a wreck happens. Maybe when my traumatic brain injury heals, I'll be able to write a book. I searched the Bad With Money archives, and I haven't found anything about this. Feel free to shorten the email if you read it on the podcast. With ADHD plus TBI, brevity is not a strong suit of mine. Anonymous. This email was perfect. You did perfectly fine. People always say they want their emails to be shorter. I need as much detail as possible. So Anonymous, thank you sincerely so much for writing this in. This has given me the idea to do an episode about it. I think this is a great idea. I was recently in a car accident. I was rear-ended on my way to Allison's house. And I got out and the guy that had rear-ended me very much did not know what to do. He out loud went, "I've never been in a car accident before." He called his dad. He like didn't know what to do. And I don't want to take advantage of that, you know, similar to how you felt. And the damage wasn't that bad. And so I did take just a check from his insurance that was around what you received from your first one as well. I don't know if like, I could have gotten more. I don't know. I really didn't feel like calling the police. Like, it wasn't like undrivable. It wasn't like a big wreck. And I hate dealing with the police. And I also wasn't sure. I was like buried in lawyers for my quote unquote divorce. So I also was like, I can't talk to another lawyer. I think just like mentally, I wasn't there. So I do understand that. I haven't yet gotten the bumper fixed. It's just scratched. So I could go, they could tell me the bumper is going to cost like $13,000, whatever. And I could have just accepted $1,000 and I would be completely wrong. And I could have made the mistake that you did. But I weighed wanting the immediate money and not being stressed out by talking to police and lawyers against how much I figured it would cost to take out a couple scratches. I don't think you have to redo the whole bumper. I also like to go into meetings with mechanics or any sort of repair person really researched. So like I had someone coming to repair something at my house and I looked into what all the cables were called so that when he came, I could say, oh, I think this is what's broken, blah, 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 so that he wouldn't think that he could take advantage of me, which is my own probably like paranoia. And so with something like this, before I would go to a mechanic, I would like deeply research what it usually costs to fix these types of scratches. Yeah, I understand like the fear because like I've been told so many things that have scared me over the years with regards to car wrecks, like don't ever apologize. Don't, you know, say anything to the person that would indicate, you know, that you're not injured. Because if they say, are you hurt? And you say no, they could use that against you. Don't, like, it really does drain the humanity out of you to have to like be a certain way after a car accident. I actually don't know. Are you not supposed to apologize after a car accident? Though it may not seem like a big deal, apologizing can have a big impact on your ability to gain damages. If you say sorry after an accident, this could be interpreted as you as admitting fault. This is from Lamar Law Office. So, yeah, all of these law offices are saying, do not apologize, do not apologize. Isn't that so, like, I think some people, some places are also saying, no, that it's a myth. But I think it really is just going to depend on the judge you get. But yeah, I mean, it just like any instinct that you have as a human to like reassure or to be like, you know, oh, I'm not hurt. Don't worry, blah, blah, blah. Like that you're supposed to go completely against that, which has in the moment when people have hit my car and then apologized and I don't say it's okay, or I don't like respond or apologize back or ask them anything, I deeply feel like a jerk. Like I feel like such an asshole, but for money reasons. And like you said, Anonymous, for if I am injured later, I know that you shouldn't say anything. God, money makes us like absolutely cold and inhuman to each other. Like it's truly set up so that we should like never interact with each other kindly. Anyway, if you have an experience like this, I actually would love to hear more experiences, not of like terrible car accidents, but you know what I mean? Like dealing with this kind of thing. How did you handle it? What money did you get? And like what, you know, and I mean, and I'm talking about car to car wrecks. I not like bikes or like pedestrians hit. I'm asking for stories of like car to car hits or wrecks. And like, what did you do and how did that affect your money? Managing my finances is incredibly stressful and time consuming. I'm sure you guys know. You've been with me on this journey. You know how many finance apps I've tried. You know how much they haven't worked for me. And I'm always on the hunt for a finance app that fits my life. And then I tried Monarch. It is so easy to use with powerful features, collaboration tools, intuitive design, personalization, constant product improvements. I really value an app that allows me to do all of this without confusion. And especially important to me is intuitive design and the ability to personalize, because clearly finance is not one size fits all. Did you know that money issues are a leading cause of divorce? Monarch, the top-rated personal finance app, also has built-in collaboration features so you can invite your partner at no extra cost. Together, you can see all your finances, collaborate on your budget, and get insights on your cash flow and recurring transactions. It's the easiest way to manage your household finances. Are you saving for a down payment, a wedding, a dream vacation? Monarch makes it so easy to help you reach your financial goals. That's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Have you been frustrated with personal finance apps that are cluttered with ads, difficult to use, rarely updated? So was Monarch. They built a new kind of personal finance app that's intuitive and powerful and ad-free and constantly improving based on customer feedback. Experience a personal finance app that prioritizes the user experience above all else. Monarch is the top-rated, all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. Create custom budgets, track progress toward financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/badmoney. Unlike other personal finance apps, Monarch's simple, intuitive design makes it so easy to set up, customize, and use. Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. Change the layout of your dashboard, toggle between light and dark mode, create custom budgets and notifications, set up automatic rules for transactions and notifications, and more. Plus, there's ad-free privacy you can trust. We will never sell your data to third parties or show you ads. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, listeners of this show will get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/badmoney. That's monarchmoney.com/badmoney for your extended 30-day free trial. Quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You can cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. Everything is more expensive these days when you're running a business, and you would be wise to find proven ways to cut costs and boost performance at the same time. The fact that you are able to reduce your IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud is incredible. And the ability to access your cloud financial system from anywhere saves you so much time and stress. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/badwithmoney. 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 We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a new candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy. It would be so much easier if I was looking for someone to help me with sweetening audio, or let's say someone to run my merch shop, or all the little things that go into running a podcast. Usually something like that would be so slow and overwhelming. And honestly, I wish I had used Indeed, and I will use Indeed in the future. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/badwithmoney. Just go to Indeed.com/badwithmoney right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/badwithmoney. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Okay. This is from the Discord. Squishy Melia says, I know it comes up in more generalized senses, but would love an episode specifically on debt. Cover stuff like interest and how it can vary from one type of debt to another. What are common debt management strategies and tools? What do people commonly get wrong about it? Different types of debt, credit card, mortgage, loan types, etc. My story is I've been working on eliminating debt for a lot of my life, cycling in and out of debt from bad decisions in college and an abusive relationship, to now working on getting out of debt after moving to a big city, getting established, and covering cost of relocation 2 times for jobs. The most recent my spouse and I started working on in 2022, and we were at around 35K of debt. And today are at around 20K, not including mortgage and car payments. We've gotten here through fairly strict, but not minimalist budgeting, utilizing credit card incentives, open a new card with 0% interest for 12 months and 0% charge on balance transfers, to consolidate high interest loans and cards, eventually consolidating into a single personal loan at a lower interest rate than most cards, which lets us make consistent payments over the minimum. At our current rate, not accounting for any windfalls or unexpected expenses, in just over 2 years. Yeah, we've done episodes about debt, but I don't think we've done this sort of deep dive. I am obviously someone who, if you listen to this show, I talk about interest constantly. So I have my list of people I hate, and I'm going to throw interest on there as number four. For those of you keeping track on my people I hate, it's like one is family vloggers, ticket scalpers, interest. I'll have to go through, but if someone's keeping track, write in and remind me. But interest is definitely going to go up there. Banks, maybe it's just banks. But anyway, so interest, it really matters, obviously, what the interest is on a high-yield savings account, things like that. That's important. But there's also bad interest, which is the credit card APRs. And I have had to look into these a lot. Like, I've talked about when I had student loans, I paid them off in the method that is based on the interest, not based on how big the loan was. I paid off the higher interest ones first on purpose. For credit cards, interest also really, really matters because you could be doing the minimum payment over and over again and not even chipping away at it at all. So what this person was talking about makes a lot of sense. I have looked into consolidation. The only concern for me is my credit cards that I've had open for the longest. I don't want to close them because I don't want to affect my credit score. So I would just keep them on empty and then not actually have the cards and not use them. That's what I've been trying to do. So let's say I have 1, 2, 3, 4. I have 4 personal credit cards. 2 of them I've cut up. I don't use them. The accounts are open, but nothing's in them. The other 2 I use primarily for points reasons. And even those, the number on them is higher right now than I would like for them to be. So I do think that I am not great with debt right now. I don't have loans other than my car, which honestly, you know what? I'm thinking of getting rid of my car loan. I don't want the car debt. I have a lease. I would maybe just want to end that when it ends and then buy a car with cash. That's my new plan. Speaking of cars, wow, I did not expect this episode to be so much about cars, but that is my upcoming plan because I want to get rid of that loan because I think the interest there doesn't behoove me. And also it's just a payment I don't need. So I would get rid of that and then I would buy a car outright. And then there's no reason for me to lease a car. I don't know why I was leasing a car. And you know who will tell you not to lease a car? Susie Orman, old friend of the show. Enemy of the show? It's hard to know. And then I got rid of my student loans. Credit card debt, that is my Achilles heel. I will say that. Not in a way, I don't have a ton of it, but that is the thing that I'm constantly paying off. And then I would say for mortgages, you definitely have to look at the interest rates on your mortgage. And I think it's different in different areas. If you live somewhere where the mortgage rates are really low, write in. I would love to know about that. And if you live somewhere where the mortgage rates are really high, write in. I would love to hear about that. And if that impacts your decision to buy a home or not buy a home. Congratulations to you on paying off $15,000. That's really amazing. Okay, back to credit cards. What stuck out to me was the opening new card with 0% interest and 0% charge on balance transfers to consolidate. I feel like I should do that, right? Okay, so I'm not using these other cards. And then I feel like I should do that with maybe the other 2 cards. Put them on 1 card and then just not use the other one, but just keep the accounts open. So I'm not tempted to use credit, but personal credit, not business credit, but I'm just nervous. I'm nervous to do that. I don't know. I don't know why I'm nervous to do it. I think it probably would behoove me interest rate wise. So Squishy Malia, if you wrote this in, I would love to know more about why you chose to do this balance transfer stuff. And how that's worked for you, even just how you were able to do it and how you researched what the best one is. I've been literally Googling credit card with the most incentives a lot because I was looking into this very thing. And I think there's some that I found, but you have to put a certain amount of money in within a month before getting the incentive. So that's a risk. I don't know. I did just write on the Patreon, patreon.com/GabeSDunn. I did just post a blog in which I am also considering using Venmo as a checking account for fun money, for play money, so that I don't use anything for my actual accounts. I'm really just kind of open to trying all kinds of stuff because I want to minimize my credit card use as much as possible. I always pay them off, but I don't think I should be doing that as much as I am. I know it's like good to do that for your credit, but yeah, it makes me feel anxious. That's all. It makes me feel anxious. When we come back, we're going to look at the news. Hey guys, Gabe Dunn here. I just wanted to let you guys know that I have a Patreon at patreon.com/GabeSDunn. And on that Patreon, I'm going to start doing live hangs with everyone who is a patron. So if you want to join the Patreon, you can get all these episodes ad-free, videos of our mailbag episodes, extra writing from me, blogs, fiction, other stuff, things that I'm thinking about with regards to money and personal stories, and also now live hangs with me on Zoom once a month. So join the Patreon. And if you're not a member of the Discord, hop on over to the Discord. That's free. The link will be in the description. It's so fun. So many of you guys talk over there. It's like truly popping off. And if you're on the Discord, I would love to see you in the live hang so I get to put a face to a name. So yeah, please join patreon.com/GabeSDunn and come hang out with me. I love to track progress. As you guys know from listening to this show, I'm constantly tracking my progress. What have we done so far in 2024? And spring is in full bloom. Are your finances blooming too? With the Chime Secured Credit Builder Visa credit card, it's easy to start building credit with everyday purchases and regular on-time payments with no annual fees or interest. And if your credit scores grow, so could your opportunities for lower rates on loans like for a car or a home. You can use it everywhere Visa credit cards are accepted. That's right, you can build your credit using your own money. Get paid up to 2 days early with direct deposit. With a qualifying direct deposit, you can get access to your money sooner. Fee-free overdraft with SpotMe. Overdraft up to $200 without fees with SpotMe when you set up a qualified direct deposit. Just set up a qualifying direct deposit, sign up for SpotMe, and Chime will spot you up to your limit when you make a credit card purchase or cash withdrawal that exceeds your balance. Access 60,000 plus fee-free ATMs. That's more than the top three national banks combined. Easily find one near you with the Chime app. Send and receive money. Use Chime to pay anyone, Chime members or not, and cash out your money fee-free. With Chime's secure credit card, you can start improving your credit scores right away. Get started at chime.com/badmoney. That's chime.com/badmoney. Chime feels like progress. The Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card is issued by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A., members FDIC. SpotMe eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Out-of-network ATM withdrawal and OTC advance fees may apply. Terms and conditions apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome back. If you heard our episode a while ago with Barbara Sloan all about tipping, you'll know that this is a topic of conversation that is very heated amongst the people. USA Today has a survey. 3 in 4 people think tipping has gotten out of hand. So you guys know that I'm deeply into Reddit. You can listen to the TLDRI episodes of Just Between Us to know more about that. But on Reddit, there was a post where someone was saying that they don't tip if they get coffee up at a register and like the person doesn't bring them the coffee or like they just hand it to them from behind the counter, right? Even if they, I guess, are doing the frothing and the putting the milk in, these people were saying, you never had to tip for this stuff before. I don't feel obligated to tip. I don't want to tip if I'm just up at a register. And so I think that's caused this backlash where these tip request screens are appearing in all kinds of places. They are Like, I think standard with Square or with technology that people are using now, like when you tap your card and stuff. So the survey found that 78% of people asked by Wallet Hub about this believe that the automatic service charges should be banned and that they're only leaving tips due to social pressure. I think also that during the pandemic, like lockdown, everyone was encouraged to tip a lot, which they freaking should have been and should. But now I think we've come out of it into this like tipping culture that where tips are being asked for because of that and because of technology in places they normally wouldn't be asked for. It again, I believe, is an American response to not being paid enough at your job. Like even non-tip based places are asking for tips because the workers are not being paid enough. And it also sucks that like for us, for people like us, you know, who maybe aren't working at that place, maybe we work somewhere else, I don't know, but like cutting costs, quote unquote, we put tipping in there, right? We put tipping in the cutting costs mode of like, well, that's something we could just get rid of. Let's just not tip. I just think we're fighting each other. Do you know what I mean? Like the people at the bottom are fighting each other. And we should really be unionizing. Why is so much of what I end up discussing on this show just really ends in unionizing? You should just unionize. Instead of thinking that it's the fault of the workers and that you don't have to care about them. So Courtney Norris, assistant professor of hospitality and tourism management at OSU, says that there is tip burnout and that there could be negative outcomes for individuals who rely on tips. Yeah, people get fed up and stop tipping altogether. That is what's going to happen. It's not going to have any sort of impact on the business owners. 63% of respondents said too many places are asking for tips. 48% said they're tired of being asked to tip. Oh, you're tired? Oh, you're tired of being asked to tip? I think that there are certain places where you don't have to. You know, I mean, if someone just kind of hands you something from behind a counter, sure. But I also think that if they're asking for tips, I gotta think that that place is not paying enough. Like it's a hint. You know what I mean? California, where I live, is set to implement a law that increases the minimum wage for fast food restaurants that have more than 60 locations nationwide. Tipped workers in states that eliminated the sub-minimum wage enjoy higher earnings, face less harassment on the job, and are less likely to live in poverty, according to Human Rights Watch. Less harassment on the job makes sense because you can just quit if you don't like it. Whereas if you rely on tips, your pay is probably much lower and you probably need the job more. What do you guys think? Are you tipping less? Do you think that this is some sort of epidemic? Or do you think that people are just writing about this in order to get clicks? And I'm even saying this, right? I'm sure a million of you guys are going to write in about tipping because everyone has feelings about tipping. Are you supposed to tip for an oil change? For industries that are not reliant on tips, such as car services, yeah, tipping is optional. You can tip 10 to 20% if you feel they went above and beyond the service. But for car stuff like oil changes, it's not required. Oh, so, okay, wow. Well, there is some debate. People are saying overall no. But yeah, like overall no just for an oil change. Wild. It was the usual thing. It was like the 15, 20, 25. It was just asking for like basically what they would ask for at a restaurant. Wild. I wonder how much of that actually goes to the workers. You know what's interesting? I was with my dad this weekend and I don't know if he's just because he's a boomer or what. He doesn't tip on the Uber app. Like if we take an Uber, we will take the Uber and then he will give the guy cash. And I wonder, is that preferred? Lyft and Uber drivers, write in. Be anonymous, please, for tax reasons. But write in and let me know if that's preferred or if people do that. Do you do that? Do other people do that? Is that an age thing? I think he just feels like he doesn't want Uber to take a cut or something, or he wants them to have it right away. I'm not sure. I wonder if who knows? My dad's like very hippie, leftist, whatever. So I wonder if he's just like, hey, man, this is just between you and I. I don't know. If this is something that you've experienced or that you do, or if you're a Lyft or Uber driver or something, or like, I don't know, if you do DoorDash and people like just, and you prefer people just hand you money in cash, write in. I would love to know more about this. I really think my dad is doing it because he thinks they prefer it. Well, thank you so much to everyone who wrote in and to everyone who I assume is going to write in about tipping. Please do. I want your emails. I want all of your information about tipping and also about car wrecks and car insurance. I love doing episodes where it's just you guys' stories. So please write in. And I think both of those things people will have a lot of feelings about. If you want to join the Patreon, you can do so at patreon.com/GabeSDunn. I'm doing some writing over there, blogging. You can get ad-free episodes of this show. And follow us at BWMPod on Instagram. It always helps to get more Instagram followers. I'm at GabeSDunn on Instagram. I'm also making a movie. So if you want to donate money to that movie, you can do so at the link for Film Independent in the description. Okay, love you guys. Here's a little $5 tip. Ka-ching. Bye. Bad with Money with Gabriel S. Dunn is a production of Noted Bisexual, produced by Melissa D. Motz and Diamond M. Print Productions. Edited by Diane Kang, post-production sound by Coco Lorenz, production assistance by Melanie D. Watson, and music by Mike Kaplan, Zach Sherwin, and Jack Dolgen, sung by Sam Barbera. Thank you. Love you. Bye.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.